Let us pray. O God of love, you have given your saints courage throughout all the ages to live faithfully, seeing your presence and your love in this world when others saw fear and despair. Give us all power to live as your saints in this world, here and now, seeing you and your love all around us. Amen. On my fourth Sunday here at St. Andrew's, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, we would have heard this gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, except that the feast of Jesus' presentation at the temple fell on that day, so we heard those readings instead, just the particularities of how the calendar worked out this year, based on where last Christmas fell during the week. Upon discovering this fact last week, I couldn't help but think about how different a sermon I would have preached on this text last February than the one I'm preaching today. How differently I would have read the words in Matthew's gospel back then, in the time before. I might have extolled the virtues of the Beatitudes as moral imperatives, as I have heard in so many Beatitudes sermons before, encouraged us to look for the saints who embody these characteristics in the world around us, to celebrate how they received their reward in heaven. But I'm not preaching last February. I'm preaching today. And after 7 weary months of pandemic, after having to close our doors to the public, this week, for the second time in my first year of ministry at St. Andrew's, I'm not so sure that I'm up for a whole new list of things that I need to be and do. And looking at a world around me in which so many are suffering, grieving loved ones we have lost, worried about where the next meal will come from, scared of the hatred in the world around us, afraid of losing their rights, and at a certain point, a reward for the intensity of suffering I see that only comes after life has ended. It's not enough. It's not enough. Because the promise of a distant reward is an explanation used for centuries to shackle people to their suffering. An explanation used to justify and even perpetuate suffering. There is a reward for all this horrible stuff. You'll just never see it. Or no, I promise it's okay for me to treat you like this. You'll be rewarded one day. The hope of a heavenly reward has helped people in the midst of extreme suffering, and I am not discounting it as a means for hope, but I am saying that it's not enough. And it wasn't enough for Jesus either. This passage in Matthew's gospel comes at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. He's been baptized and driven into the wilderness, and emerging from his own time of trial, he proclaims, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near." The kingdom of God has drawn near. It's not some faraway abstract concept. It's drawn near. It's within your reach. It's in the midst of you. It is among you. From there, Jesus calls his disciples to teach some others here on this earth what life in that kingdom could be like. And they set out together throughout Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven, the good news that it is so near that you can taste it. And he then shows them, his disciples and all who would see, what the kingdom looks like. It looks like healing for those who are sick, feeding for those who are hungry, restoring to community those who have been cast out, breaking down the barriers that have kept us apart. And only after he has shown them all these things does he speak this morning's words. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who long for justice, who yearn for peace. Now, you've probably figured out by now that I'm a bit of a nerd and enjoy things like looking for alternate translations of words that bring new meaning to familiar passages in Scripture, you know, just for fun. And in this passage, the words commonly translated as poor in spirit could also be translated as lacking in breath. Now, this definitely speaks to me in a different way than it would have last February with the known respiratory symptoms of COVID. But it also just describes how I'm feeling after all these months of anxiety and pandemic. Out of breath, weary, spent. Blessed are they. Blessed are we. The distance at which we'd like to hold those troubled multitudes Jesus names suddenly collapses. We are the weary, the mourning, the ones who long for justice, who yearn for peace. And it is to each and every one of us that Jesus proclaims that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. This is good news. Not because the world's ending soon and we'll all be in heaven as some apocalyptic groups have thought, but because the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, the kingdom is within our reach if we will change our ways and live it into being. If we don't want to wait until the end of time for the mourning to be comforted, for the hungry to be fed, for mercy to be given, then we, even though we endure our own sufferings, we are the ones who will care for each other in these ways. This is how we make the kingdom of heaven a reality, not in the distant future at the end of time, but now, as we, the broken beloved, care for one another in this world, following the example of Jesus. These Beatitudes lose their meaning unless they are taken in the context of the work of compassion and mercy and healing that Jesus has just performed, of the good news he proclaimed that there's another way this world could be. And I'll show you what it looks like. It looks like health and flourishing, community and restoration for all people. And it was that good news proclaimed throughout all Galilee, seen in Jesus's works of mercy, that led the crowds to follow Jesus here to the mountain to learn more about a world that's within their reach. They, like we, lived in a world that defined success in terms of wealth and power, and heard, as we do, the jarring declaration that the blessed are not the rich and powerful, but the meek, the poor, the hungry, the peacemakers. They are blessed now, not that they will be blessed in heaven, but they are blessed now because to them the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. They have suffered. They have struggled. They have loved and lost, been made vulnerable by this world. They have come to know that there is more to this life than gold and might. Jesus' words affirm for them, for us, that this is true, that there is blessing in weakness because it is only those who have endured it who can see the way the world could be, who with nothing left to lose would give everything to make it true. This All Saints Day, we remember faithful people who have lived this way, who have heard the truth of these words and tried to make the kingdom of heaven just a little bit closer in their time. The truth, of course, is that saints are not just the heroic figures whose stories are captured in books, but all those throughout history, here in our time, here in this room, there in your living room, and those we may never know, who have glimpsed the way the world could be, and are making decisions each day to live that world into being. The good news this morning is that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And with each of our acts of mercy and compassion and love, it draws nearer each day. Would you join me in making this our reality here in this world, you saints of God, not one day, but today? Amen.